Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Very nervous to start today's show.
Why?
A couple of reasons. Yesterday, I started the show and Solana jumped all over me because he didn't like my topic. And this morning, I took a Twitter haymaker from Victor Bermudez, who apparently doesn't like this show anymore, or something along those lines.
You got on Vic's bad side?
I know. So it was funny when Chuck and Jim saw Victor's tweet to me. I got to find the. So he texted me. I said something along the lines of, I'd wipe the floor with Vic. And Chuck said, yes, if he told you to wipe the floor, you would not hesitate.
I'm with Chuck.
So I'm very nervous. And how should I start the show, Solana?
Well, I'm looking at ESPN right now, and they're talking about who has the edge on Sunday, 49ers defense or Jalen Hurts. And
I'm just going to start with the line again. Chiefs are minus one right now over the Bengals. How about that?
That's interesting.
The line has flipped again. The Chiefs are now the favorites over the Bengals. Bengals are plus one.
Because Patrick Mahomes walked out of a press conference yesterday.
So do you want me to put it in now, or do you think it might go higher now? Because here's, and again, I know Solana doesn't like this as the opening topic, but I got nothing else planned. So Monday, we started the show. Bengals were getting one. Crowder said put it in. I didn't. By the end of Monday's show, it was pick 'em. Then Tuesday, it was Bengals minus one. By yesterday, it was Bengals minus 2.5 on the road in KC. It is now KC minus one.
Oh, Bengals.
Do you want to put it in now at one, or do you want to see and wait if it goes up to two?
This is the thing. This is
I know.
An unorthodox bet because it's going off. If Patrick Mahomes limps twice, now it's swinging back.
We do have Rob Pizzola joining us on the show today in the 4 o'clock hour. So we can wait and get his opinion if you want.
Let's do that. Well, two hours to get a professional. I can do 2 hours.
This line could move a lot in the next 2 hours. I'm telling you, that's what's happened all week. So, you know, we were bummed that we didn't get in at Cincinnati plus one. And now I'm thinking, okay, it's back to Cincinnati plus one. Maybe we should jump on it, but now we're going to get greedy and wait for 1.5 or two. But maybe it goes back to pick 'em. I don't know.
Let's ask Rob.
All right, so you want to wait.
Let's wait, because we would have waited anyway till closer to game time. So let's sacrifice the 2 hours and get the professional opinion.
Solana, you down to wait?
I'm fine with waiting. My only thing is you guys have been hard-pressed on betting the Bengals, whether they're one-point favorites, whether they're one-point underdogs, and I'm going the other way. I think the Chiefs...
Oh, you like KC.
I like KC in this game. I'll bet with the, majority rules here.
So you wish we would have put it in a KC plus 2.5?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'll bet with the, as we always do with the show, I have no problem with that. I'll ride or die with my guys, but I think everybody right now is high on Burrow, high on the Bengals, and they're forgetting that the Chiefs have been the best team in the NFL for the past 4 years.
All right. We better wait for Pizzola.
Well, until they got their ass whooped last year in the same game by the same team.
That is true.
Exactly, though. Like, that's why I feel even stronger about it. They're going to lose twice to the Bengals in two seasons.
Yeah, they lost three times in the last 2 years.
in like 380 days, they've lost three times.
Forget about it. Come on, put it in, Chiefs.
I don't know. All right, we'll wait for Pizzola, but this line could absolutely change. Not only is Rob Pizzola coming on with us today, David Fiorones covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. He's going to join us. We'll get the latest on Fangs, get our Fangs update, talk a little bit about the Dolphins and the NFL with him. And in the 3 o'clock hour today, if you were listening to yesterday's show, or if you saw my Twitter last night when I tweeted out the footlong hot dog, I said anyone who eats a footlong hot dog at a sporting event is a look at me, Louie. Solana had brought up in one of the stories on the headlines yesterday that the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council had come out with some rules. One of them is that a hot dog should never take more than 5 bites to finish. Oh. Anyway, Eric Mittenhall is the president of the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, and he is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. So how about that?
This is official because he has the real answers.
Yeah, this guy knows. You know, I love talking about food. Sometimes we have George Shea from Major League Eating. We will talk with the president of the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. I just saw some breaking news, too. All right. I'll wait. We have a long bed for the breaking news.
It's not going to be breaking when this is over.
Carolina Panthers announce former Colts coach Frank Reich as their next head coach. Is there more breaking news, or is that just the kicker?
Just the kicker. Kind of wrap it
all
up.
All right, we're getting all our sounds in. Frank Reich is the next head coach for the Carolina Panthers.
He just failed. He just got fired. This is Adam Gase. What's going on?
Did you see who the Jets hired?
No, who?
Speaking of, when I think of Adam Gase, I think of the Jets, which is lucky, because you could think of the Dolphins. I think of the Jets. Jets just hired Nathaniel Hackett as their OC. Hold on, breaking news. The Jets have hired Nathaniel Hackett as their OC.
So he couldn't get Russ to play well, but he's going to turn Zach Wilson around. Mm.
What I've read is that they're in the market for Aaron Rodgers, and I guess Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers have a relationship, Solana?
I think they do, but I've been seeing a lot more traction about Tom Brady going to the New York Jets.
Oh, is it Brady? Maybe I got that wrong.
I've seen both. Definitely the Jets are a landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people have that, but I've seen more news about Tom Brady being the next quarterback back to the AFC East.
All right. Well, there you go. A lot of breaking news. Let's get the rest of the headlines because we do have a lot to get through today. Let's get the headlines with Alejandro Solana, huge Chiefs fan.
Patty. This sports update, it's driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Also sponsored by Crowder's friends at Dade County Federal Credit Union. They're offering great rates to lower your car payment. Rates as low as 2.94% APR. Becoming a member is easy. What was that?
2.94?
2.94% APR.
Yeah, I think you said foyer.
Becoming a member is easy. Join the credit union today. Visit dcfcu.org/car. Certain restrictions apply. Offer can change at any time. Federally insured by NCUA.
Who are you?
Always good to get the first one out of the way in the first 10 minutes, because now you can just sit back and hunt. I don't mind being the first mistake, because then I'm hunting all afternoon.
Be on your game today, bro.
I know.
There was also some other news today regarding a former Miami Dolphins head coach. The Cowboys parted ways with their offensive line coach, Joe Philbin.
I don't know if we're doing the breaking news right, but that, of course, was breaking news as well.
About 6 hours ago.
Yeah.
So Philbin, Brady, head coach changes. Those are all breaking news, huh?
Isn't that funny? How about that?
Philbin? Joe Philbin?
I didn't realize Joe Philbin was with the Cowboys. That would have made Sunday night even funnier, no?
Yes, because we knew they were going to mess out of his position.
I had no idea. So he's the offensive line coach? Is that what you said, Solana?
Offensive line coach.
So he's the one that had the offensive line lining up on the right side? That was his play?
I love that narrative.
He put Ezekiel Elliott by himself on the line.
So he's the one that was responsible for teaching Zeke how to block for the quarterback?
Hey, Joe, you got any good plays? You know, last second ditch efforts? Let me show you what I got.
Because even if he didn't call the play, he still has to be responsible for the line. And the line happened to be Ezekiel Elliott. And I've never seen a line get blown up quite the way that Ezekiel Elliott did.
Hey, they worked on that all week, Hawk. Don't you do that to Joe.
Wow. Now it makes a little sense, obviously.
It reminds me of when Al Golden was with the Lions and we just knew their linebackers were going to be terrible. He said, what? Oh, they're going to get run on. Come on.
Joe Philbin was a Cowboys coaching staff. Had no idea.
They pretty much got rid of like most of their coaching staff, by the way. I was reading they didn't renew the contracts of their assistant head coach, Rob Davis, their senior defensive assistant, George Edwards, assistant defensive lines coach, Leon Lett, running backs coach, Skip Pete, and also quality control analytics, Cal Valero. So Cowboys pretty much cleaning house other than their head coach, Mike McCarthy.
George Edwards is a good friend of mine. I got to call him.
Somebody, I can't be that good a friend if Solana just told you about him during the headlines. You had no idea.
Hell of a point. I'll wait a couple days.
Somebody texts in, from now on, out of respect for the sheriff, I will only be calling you your nicknames. What's up, Hawk, Chan, and A-Soul?
I like that one.
There's really not much else going on. No games tonight. The Heat play the Magic.
None yesterday, no tonight. That's kind of it's a nice little break.
It is. The Heat play the Magic tomorrow night at 8 p.m., and the Panthers host the L.A. Kings tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
All right.
Oh, I think Canes women's basketball team plays today. How could
Let's
I forget?
Let's go.
They host Boston College, Coach Katie Meyer and her squad, 6 p.m. tip-off from the Watsco Center.
All right. I like it.
There you go. We got some basketball tonight. And on a more serious note, today marks 3 years since the death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi, in that horrific helicopter accident.
3 years already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you guys remember where we were at, the three of us, when that happened?
Well, it happened on a Sunday, but we started Radio Row the next day.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. Yeah. I was talking about it with my son the other day. My son, when he was in town for Christmas break, we were at Barnes & Noble, and he bought the Barnes & Noble that Crowder loves. He bought a Kobe book. He loves Kobe. But I was saying to him, like, we would be watching Kobe 3 times a week on NBA coverage right now. Like, he was going to be such a great basketball analyst because he knows the game so well, knew the game so well, happened to have a good personality television-wise. Like, we would have been watching him, you know, 3-4 times a week on NBA analysis.
I never thought about that. And think about him preparing for a game or letting you know what's about to happen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they've been going topside to here. And now they're going to go, you know, beat up down low. Boy, Hawk, why'd you do that?
When we sit here and we talk, I mean, like, we don't know anything that's going on. We're trying to figure out how many votes somebody has for an all-star team, if the coach has to have a certain number of front court, back court. Like, Kobe would know everything. Take anything he did more seriously than we take.
Yes. And
wow,
all
3 years.
Wouldn't all arguments be finished?
Like, right, hey, if he makes his opinion known.
Should Bam be an all-star? Yeah, he should. Oh, see, I told you, Kobe said it. it'd been in all arguments.
Yeah.
He was hosting that show Detail on ESPN+. I don't know how many of you guys watched it, but basically they would show film, actual highlights and
he was
and
like a basketball
footage.
Scientist almost. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, just could break down something. Like, he knew what was going to happen before the players on the court did.
That's why, with like what Romo does, I think Kobe would blow our minds.
Oh my
what
God.
He could
blow
do.
Our minds. Yep.
Romo kind of jumped the shark this season, though, right? Like, he
went
from.
He got a lot of heat lately. Yeah. A lot of heat. And you know who's on the come up is Greg Olsen.
Really?
Oh, my God, dude. People love Greg Olsen. People are saying that Fox wasted $375 million on Tom Brady because there is no chance he will ever be as good as Greg Olsen is.
But Greg Olsen failed before.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they brought Greg up. He like when he first got out playing, they brought him up, and then he.
Yeah,
no,
then
you
didn't
know
he go back and play?
I'm crazy.
No, you're thinking of Jason Witten.
I'm
Witten.
Thinking about Witten. Look at me, big white boy.
Yeah, Jason
boy,
Witten
just,
was terrible.
Yeah, Witten was terrible. Okay, I got to check out Greg.
What are you trying to say, Crowder?
They're white tight ends. I'm sorry. You know.
No, Witten was terrible.
Yeah, Witten was bad. Yeah.
That was Monday Night Football. I think they put Witten on, right?
I think you might be right. Yeah, he was so bad, they scared him back into the league.
That was with the Boogermobile. That was that season with the Boogermobile.
What a disaster.
We're going to put a big-ass black dude 60 feet in the air and bring on a young dude that's never done it before. Go.
Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Call them 866-954-MORE. It is partly cloudy right now. Looks like it's going to rain here in El Portal. Tonight, though, the lows will drop into the upper 60s. That's your weather.
We'll talk some Dolphins with David Fioronis. He covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel next.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I talk with David Fioronis here. He covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. He is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. What do we know, David? I'll start with Vic Fangio. Fangs. We are big fans of Fangs. I don't know about him, but we like the nickname. So from what we saw, he was interviewing with the Dolphins yesterday. Do we know where the interview took place, if it took place, how it went?
I think all those interviews take place at Dolphins facilities, at Dolphins headquarters. So I believe it would be just like any like the head coach interview rounds that were made last year, all of the above. So, no word on how it went, we know he is one of Mike McDaniel's targets. McDaniel, that's the guy he wanted last year. As he was coming in, but ultimately it worked out where Josh Boyer was retained, and then we saw that one this year, and then now the Dolphins are looking for the coordinator again. So Fangio would be my top target. So I'm on board with you and a fan of Fangs.
And you, like you just said, you think Fang's the answer? Because Boyer had him, you know, top 10 2 years ago and the year before that, actually, and then now it fell off. You don't think the fall off has become because of ability and injuries? Because Byron Jones is out, Brandon Jones is out. You know, there was a bunch of injuries in that secondary. We were playing unrestricted free agents. Fangs can take those guys and take them back to the top.
Yeah, I think probably when you look back at this season, it's twofold. There were a lot of those ready-made excuses. I mean, Byron Jones, you never had him. That's a lot of what Josh Boyer wants to do is being able to have those corners that you just leave on an island and then you free up extra defenders. We always talk about how he loves to bring those exotic blitzes, even from the safety position. And he didn't really do all that much, but kind of in a sense, Boyer was sort of a one-trick pony in that way, in that he didn't make adjustments to having different things that he could do with his defense and look for different ways to run an effective defense. And end of the day, the big question for Boyer going into this past season was always going to be, can he do it without the backing of Brian Flores? He always had Brian Flores to lean on in the previous seasons. Flores, we know, has a defensive background, and they go way back together, going back to their New England days together. So that was really Boyer's first chance to be given the keys to the defense solely. And then we saw that the defense was second to last in takeaways and upper 20s it ranked in a lot of other categories. So there were excuses. There were a lot of injuries. Ogba, Brandon Jones, never having Byron Jones, Nick Needham. But also the adjustments throughout the season to what he did have available didn't seem to be made outside of a few key examples, but not consistently enough.
It was a great question. I read this on the show yesterday. There was a great question that was tweeted to you yesterday, which was, will Tua be cleared for action by time for the Pro Bowl games? Do we? Because in the Twitter answer, you said, you know, we don't get daily updates anymore because he's not playing. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, right now I do not know where he stands in concussion protocol. Last we heard it, he still wasn't cleared to practice on the field. Now, if you ask me, if the Pro Bowl games are just this glorified flag football game, or not even glorified, it's actually a flag football game, then I feel like you don't need to get through five stages of concussion protocol to play in that. I don't think there is anything in the NFL rules to specifically state where a player needs to be in the protocol to be allowed to play flag football, but I say if he's able to play and willing to let him go back out there, but I don't know if he will, given that, well, I mean, he is essentially going to be that first alternate because both of the remaining AFC quarterbacks, one of them's they're both in the Pro Bowl, and one of them's got to go to the Super Bowl. So essentially, Tua has clinched that spot. So that'll be something to watch going into Pro Bowl weekend.
Wouldn't that be a bad look? Because we talked about it yesterday. Yeah. I didn't think it was realistic till now we're speaking about it. Wouldn't that be a bad look? Like, people are talking about this guy should never play football again, and now he's out there running around with his friends playing in the backyard. Like, shouldn't he be somewhere, I don't know, drinking kombucha?
You got to rip the Band-Aid off, man.
But probably for his own right. Yeah, he should just call it a season. The season's over, and couldn't play in the last three games due to concussion protocol. Don't go play in the Pro Bowl. So I think he would still get credit for being a Pro Bowler once you are the first alternate, and then you get in. But then if you can't go either, then they go to the next guy. And I think that'll work out for him in that regard. But aside from that, yeah, I agree with you on the optics of it in itself. But also, a flag football game is just like a non-contact practice too. So if he were to be cleared to be able to do that by now, then why not just play a flag football game that's an exhibition for the fans?
I was saying yesterday he should play with a helmet on. Everybody else has no helmet, and he plays with those big concussion helmets on. Just better optics, Crowder. There's the optics you're looking for. Look at how seriously he's taking head injuries.
There you go.
When it comes to quarterback, because I think we've talked to you, Chris Greer was pretty clear that Tua is going to be the quarterback next season, and I like that. Is there any thought that the Dolphins would be in the market for Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or even Lamar Jackson?
Right. I don't see it personally. I know why the question comes up, because even though the Dolphins made a similar proclamation early last offseason, then you still see them, well, they were proven to have continued to tamper with Tom Brady last offseason once the violations came down and the ruling came down from the NFL where the tanking allegations were unfounded, but then the league did say that the tampering allegations were true, and even noted the Dolphins doing it as recently as 2022. with Tom Brady. So will they stay true to their word? I feel like it just also makes sense with Tua, given his rookie contract. It's, you're going into year four of that four-year rookie contract, and then the bigger question becomes a fifth-year option. Do you want to do that this offseason and then get him for the $22 million number for the fifth year? I wouldn't go as far as doing some long-term extension right now, because you need to see him stay healthy. But his play when he was healthy, I feel like, did earn Tua this next season. And then I would more so look at what veteran option you might want as a backup quarterback, whether you're bringing Teddy Bridgewater back or you're looking at another veteran to be that QB2, or if you think even Skylar Thompson could be elevated to QB2 right now after he played in a playoff game. So I would personally like another veteran to back up Tua, and then be ready in the instance where Tua gets hurt again, and then have Skylar as a third quarterback option again after he got into some games as a rookie.
And to that point, can you, like, I'm with you. I said that too. I don't think Teddy's here. I think they bring in another veteran. But do you bring in a guy good enough to compete with Tua? Because it's that fine line of bringing, like, if you bring in Fitzpatrick again, and we see him, you know, Tua, his shoe falls off and he has to leave for a series, and the guy goes in and balls, and now there's that quarterback controversy. Do they want to bring in a guy good enough to Miami to create a quarterback controversy, David, or do they want to bring in a guy good enough to finish a game if Tua can't play?
Yeah, I think the latter. I think you want to bring in a guy that's reliable, a veteran, a guy who's got some games under his belt to be his backup. And everyone wondered the same thing when Teddy Bridgewater was brought in, because he was a starter the past two seasons, has been a starter with the Vikings, was a top backup behind Drew Brees in New Orleans. But everyone wondered, well, could Teddy Bridgewater even be better than Tua? And then when Teddy got on the field, then I think we saw that the offense ran much more efficiently with Tua running it. So, I think you're looking at someone to back him up and not necessarily compete with him. Going into 2023.
David Fiorinas from the Sun Sentinel is with us. Give a letter grade to Mike McDaniel for his first season. Now that we've, you know, been through it all, playoffs have come and gone, you can really look back on the season. What's the letter grade?
A letter grade. Maybe I'd go in the B- range. I think he did a lot with the offense. He worked a lot of wonders for Tua, unlocked a lot of things in his game. So that was a big thing that the Dolphins wanted in this hire when they made it almost a year ago to the date. So he was successful in that regard, worked the offense well. Now we did see a lot of the mishaps in game management, which really came to fruition in the wild card playoff game against Buffalo. So sometimes maybe taking too much pride in that offensive genius that we know him to be. And then, where he's looking for the perfect play instead of just the play that you need in that moment and being quick and timely with those decisions. So I think that's where you need to see him make some improvements. A lot of the game flow stuff, like challenging calls. He was 0 for his first 5 before finally having a successful challenge. So those are some of the first-year head coach hiccups that he needs to now get over. And now he'll go ahead and make an offseason of his own hires after doing so on the offensive side, more so on the defensive side. He's going to get to hire this defensive coordinator after retaining Boyer as a holdover from the Brian Flores era. And then now he'll have his fingerprints on that decision. So now we'll really get to judge him on more deeper things in his head coaching tenure.
And there was a rumor about Saquon Barkley. Could they make a big splash? Like, do they need to make another big splash in free agency? Because, like, Saquon, I would love it. Saquon's a monster. But they just had Tyreek, you know. I guess they get a little money back, because I don't expect Mike Gesicki to be here this year. But can they and should they go out there and try to, like, get another big name, another big contract to get this thing, you know, over the edge when they have their window? Because, you know, David, everybody has a little window. And I think the Dolphins have a little window right now they got to capitalize on.
Hey, as a player, I love Saquon Barkley, too. I know general manager Chris Greer is not worried about the cap restraints and the flexibility. The team can always clear some of that up. Executive Brandon Shore will be restructuring deals, looking for some trade partners. Surely there will be some contracts that get cut. You can save money if you extend Christian Wilkins, then backload some of that money, and then in the short term, it works better against the cap going into this next offseason. But so there's a lot of things that the team can do to clear up the cap space. It won't be the number that's $16 million under the cap that you stand at currently. So then it becomes a matter of where do you want to prioritize what you do free up? Do you need to look to upgrade an inside linebacker or cornerback, find yourself a replacement at tight end that fits the system better? At running back, could you run it back with a Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson combination, which although the Dolphins didn't run the ball as much for the totals in rushing that maybe you want, the combo was pretty efficient, especially that second half of the season that they were together, and they're two guys that know Mike McDaniel's system well from San Francisco. And when you look at the season rushing totals, you also have to account for the first half where Chase Edmonds was part of that mix and didn't really mesh well with the system, with the offense. The wide zone was something new to him. He was more inside zone his whole career. So then you really look at that second half and you think, hey, it could be more affordable to go with some option like that. Maybe bring back one, look for a slight upgrade at the other, and then determine, okay, do you want to do your big spending looking for a running back like Saquon, or keeping what you have at running back, and then maybe you could use that some of that money upgrading at different positions of need.
But the basic expectation is there's not going to be a huge splashy offseason. They got rid of Josh Boyer. They're going to hire a defensive coordinator, and probably and we don't expect them to be in the market for a quarterback if we believe Chris Greer. I do. So is the biggest maneuver, you know, getting Christian Wilkins extended? Like, you're not expecting. If they were in the market for Saquon Barkley, that would be a surprise.
Yeah, probably so. So, I mean, I would think some small tweaks. I think a lot of the big splash moves have already been made, which last offseason, signing a Teron Armstead, trading for Tyreek Hill at the trade deadline, trading for a Bradley Chubb. So probably more so the smaller moves and the tweaks, with maybe the potential of one bigger splash-type move if enough is cleared and the situation's right.
All right. There you go. David Fioronis, Sun Sentinel. We appreciate it. We'll keep an eye open. Fangs, is that the number one target? We think that'll get done?
Yeah, well, that's my number one target. I'm leaning towards, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna be optimistic here. I'm saying yes. But the other targets are some good guys, too, between Chris Richard, Sean Desai, and Anthony Campanelli as an internal target is up there as well. So, but Fangio would obviously be the top choice in that group.
Well, David, help us out, man. You know we're gamblers. Who's winning this weekend?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. So I'm going with Bengals in the AFC, and I was torn earlier this week with the Eagles 49ers, but I'm going with the Eagles, especially after seeing what they did coming off the bye. And the long travel for San Francisco, going to Philly and losing 3 hours, and also playing a day later than Philly. So I'll go with the Eagles to win at home and get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think those are our picks, the Eagles and the Bengals, right? And
then, there we go.
I think I like the Bengals to win the Super Bowl in that matchup, by the way, if it came to that. Ooh. Anyway, putting the cart in front of the horse there, David. I think I'm trying to read the tea leaves a little too early. All right, David Fioronis. David Fioronis from the Sun Sentinel. Thanks, David.
Always appreciate it, guys.
You know, if you were listening yesterday, that was funny. If you weren't, it wasn't.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I would see the guy from Auburn. What's his man's name? Igbenagini.
Hawk and Crowder.
One of the great joys of this show is hijacking sports, turning it into food. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a screenshot Solana sent me of the website. So you can go to WQAM.com. But here are stories underneath the main story at WQAM.com, okay? Commanders interview Dolphins associate head coach Eric Studsville for their coaching staff.
Yes.
Kim Ng under pressure in contract year.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Jackson, Bam Adebayo, showing he's elite.
Agree.
But the headline story, if you go to WQAM.com, is a picture, a stock photo, but still a picture, of a big giant hot dog. And it says, how many bites does it take Joe Zagacki to eat a hot dog?
One, a two, a three, a three.
I love that that is the headline at WQAM.com. And it doesn't even need the attribution of as told on the Hockman and Crowder show, because everyone knows that that's the Hockman and Crowder show. But that brings me to our guest in the 3 o'clock hour. In the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to have the president. This is no this is no mini hot dog, Crowder. This is the foot long. The president of the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, Eric Mittenhall. So
ooh,
get ready for that.
And his answers, that's fact now. Don't get to arguing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Unless I don't agree with him, and then I'll give you the other side. So I sent the screenshot of WQAM.com to Joe Zagacki so that he could see it, and he was delighted. And then he said via text, FYI, I did ask Katie Meyer about Coke Zero. Remember, he told us yesterday that he would.
Yes.
And I said, what did she say? And he says, she spoke glowingly about you and Crowder.
Oh, that's awesome.
Look at that. That's our friend. All right. 3 o'clock hour is coming up. We're going to talk hot dogs. Why wouldn't we? 4 o'clock hour, we'll get some gambling tips from Rob Pizzola. So don't go anywhere. We'll take a quick break. 3 o'clock hour is next.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Meow.
Hawk and Crowder.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.